Hi, guys.
Hi. Dude, this episode is batshit hilarious.
This episode is batshit crazy. Casey could not understand. She was like, wait a second. You're telling me you wore that hat just for that ending? Just for that one
but
shot?
But it was worth it. Yeah. But it was worth it.
I was like, yeah, yeah. She was like, what the hell are you wearing? And I was like, it's
just wait
to pay
just
off.
Wait. I think this is one of the funniest episodes. I mean, if you like the silly ones, this is one of the best episodes, the silliest, funniest episodes in five seasons.
This is probably, first of all, I'm not going to say it's the silliest one. But
it's up there, dude. There's an ostrich wearing a kango.
Yeah, yes, yes. It has some really, really, really out there moments. I will
There's a robot. There's a Jewish robot.
Yeah. And then the joke, why did I make him Jewish? My parents are going to kill me.
But, dude, I laugh. I had to pause to laugh because I was missing shit. That's how funny. So if you're listening to this show, guys, and you're not always going back and watching them or you're not watching along, you have to go back and watch this one because it is really, really, really funny.
For some reason, these last two episodes, I remembered shooting these last two episodes and I remembered watching these last two episodes. For some reason, these are two episodes that I've seen quite a bit.
It's My Big Bird, by the way, 508, right, Joelle?
Yeah, and, My Big Bird.
It's written by Deb Fordham and Rob Greenberg, who's become was always a big showrunner, and he was married to Gabby Alan Greenberg, one of our main writers, and now he's become a big filmmaker. But he did a really good job. It's also really well directed. And I don't know. I want to catch up with you, but I couldn't be on the Zoom and not be like, how funny was that episode?
I
took like we're not going to get to everything I wrote down. I filled a page of notes with just the cold open.
Oh shit! You went hard,
dude.
You went
I was
hard.
Laughing. I was sitting here like this, like with my head in my hands, laughing.
Yeah. I remembered making this episode. There were so many great moments in it. Anyway.
How are you? How's life?
I'm great. Life is good. You know, I'm still a bit under the weather.
Right. But you don't have the Delta.
I do not have the Delta.
People are getting that Delta left and right, bro.
Yeah, but listen, it's not... Okay, so here's where the misinformation is coming in. Yes, there are breakthroughs. But the number of breakthroughs compared to the number of people not vaccinated is fractional. Let's put it that way. The people that are getting it that are not vaccinated is ginormous compared to the
They're going to fucking re-shut down LA County. Why?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We thought we... You know, when they said 100 million people in America... That wasn't enough to reach herd immunity. Did we even make it to 100 million?
I don't know. But listen, here in New York City, we're in much better shape. He pantomimed smoking a cigarette.
I know. You guys are doing well there. A lot of people got...
Well, not good. I mean, I know a few people that got it, and they're lucky, and they're double vaccinated, got it. And they said it's not, you know, the vax makes it not bad. They have like a bad cold. But then I know another guy who got it who had both vaccinations and said it was bad. He said he had a fever. I mean, not hospital bad, but he said he had a fever for 8 days and he was in bad shape.
Right.
So anyway.
That's the crazy thing is they're saying that, you know, it's a few breakthroughs, but it's crazy how we seem to know people that the breakthroughs are happening to.
Well, I think everyone will start to know people. It's just, to be blunt, not enough of the country is willing to get vaccinated. So we just have to do it the hard way. It's just going to be like people are going to get the fucking Delta now. Yeah. And then we're just going to wait till everyone's had it or been vaccinated.
Yeah, but even if you had it, doesn't mean you can't get it again. That's the problem. So it's like, you know... There was this movie and the band played on back in the day, and it's about, you know, how they had AIDS contained, and it was something like we could contain it if we just make this move, and people didn't want to make the move, and, you know, for 10 years, 20 years, HIV/AIDS wreaked havoc in a lot of communities, right? It'd be a damn shame if we were this close, like it seemed, to getting rid of this virus. And because a bunch of people you know, I can't, I don't want to go down this path and freaking blame people, but I will say, I do want to say this. I get you can't convince anybody to do this, but this thing isn't going to go away because people didn't vaccine. I'm just going to put it out there.
I mean, you,
that's real talk.
If you want to say it in the most benign way, you just did, which is you can't force anyone to do it, but the reason this is coming right back around is because not enough people got vaccinated.
That's it.
And I'd be livid if I had kids too, man, because the kids are vulnerable. The kids can get it. Anyway, sorry, let's get off. Let's change topics. I was in such a good mood from watching this episode. I'm getting all worked up.
Okay, well, let's not do that.
I know how to change topics. What you trying to get into a day soon? What you trying to do?
Fried chicken.
Now, listen, Casey's theme song, we have to say, was written, I think it premiered in the previous episode.
But we didn't
ever explain it. It's lyrics and melody by Zach Braff, vocals and harmonies by Donald Faison, and produced by Jessica Weiss, our friend, who is blowing up. She's Carrie Brothers' wife
right now. Well, she's on Carrie Fuego. Brothers is her husband. How about that?
Yes, Carrie Brothers is her husband. Carrie Brothers played instruments on the hit Casey Jingle track. But we want to thank Jess, who did it. She's really blowing up as a composer right now. She did that new
Cinderella.
Camila Cabello Cinderella, which is that out yet? It's out,
no,
right?
No, it's not out.
Joelle, is it out?
I'm checking the Amazon release date.
It might be out.
But we're really proud of her because she's blowing up and she's doing really, really well. And when you see the Camila Cabello Cinderella, which looks really, really fun, that's her. And it wasn't like, it was like big, like full orchestra shit, not like her and a guitar and a keyboard. Like she did it.
Right.
Anyway, so thank you, Jess, for producing the Casey theme song. Casey, we're going to make it a ringtone, right, Joelle? You're on that?
Because yes, I'm on a lot it. Of it's you, in process.
Casey made sure to remind you guys, when's my shit going to be a ringtone?
Yeah, first of all, Casey loves her theme song, and she was very excited about it. And then she quickly was like, when's that shit going to be a ringtone? And when can I get it as my ringtone? Casey,
come down here. I don't know nothing about raising these fools.
Tell me what to do. I don't know nothing about raising these keys.
Kids.
And that's what it is. Yeah. Cinderella comes out in a week, so check it out
because
it looks really good, and she can really act, Camila Cabello, and the music's amazing. So there you go, I'm plugging our friend Jess Weiss.
There you go.
Let's get into the show. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Here's some stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said here's the stories that we all should know.
I just can't believe how much is packed into this episode. Like every 10 seconds, there's a huge funny bit.
Dude, first of all, I wanted just to say, it opens up with you pulling into the parking lot of this Quickie Mart, I guess it would be, right?
Yeah.
And look smooth on the scooter, dude. You look like you knew what you were doing. You jumped off, looked kind of cool on the, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like that's always something. I know you, and I know how much you ride. You ride motorcycles, you ride scooters.
I ride my bicycle around Manhattan, which is advanced.
Why is that advanced? I don't understand what that means.
Riding a bicycle around Manhattan is like double black diamond. Like 100%. Everyone wants to kill you. Everyone wants to kill you. And now, not to digress.
Not if you take the bike trails.
Not to digress from your point, but what's happened since I've been here in Manhattan is that there's so many delivery men on electric bikes, and some of them are electric scooters, and obviously the police don't have the manpower to like fucking regulate any of this. So these dudes are on the sidewalks. They're going the wrong direction. It's fucking mayhem. And holy you just got to be like, it's like Frogger, but death.
It's like Coruscant.
I don't know what Coruscant is.
That's where they do the racing, speed racing in Star Wars.
No, it's not. No. Coruscant is the capital of the universe in Star Wars. That's where the Empress.
Oh, Joelle, you just got Star Wars trivia wrong. Joelle, you just got Star Wars trivia wrong.
I'm sure they do race on Coruscant.
Where's my boo? That's the toilet. You can have a toilet, Joelle.
Thank you, Zach.
That's not cool. Respect the queen, bro.
I respect the queen, but the queen got Star Wars trivia wrong, and I'm really upset about it.
It happens to everyone, dude. Respect
you never get Star Wars trivia wrong.
Absolutely, I do.
Really?
Absolutely.
Who lives in the Dagobah system?
Well, there's Yoda. But he exiled himself there.
Thank you both for responding to my text, because sometimes you guys ignore me, but when I saw there's a giant new Star Wars Lego ship I sent you
guys. Yeah, there
is. Yeah, it's huge, Donald.
It's beautiful.
You know, it's huge, Donald. What ship is it?
Wait, what was it?
Joelle, what ship is it?
I gotta look. I don't remember. Oh, it was like 1,200 pieces. It looked really cool, though.
Wow. Respect the queen, yo.
Sorry.
Cut that shit out.
Just go on the Donald Joelle. We pulled Daniel off this one chat for Star Wars related things.
Ah, I was going to say, I missed this one.
No, Daniel.
We used to like to include you and stuff, but then what happened was your interest, you started saying, yeah, you can miss me on that. I'm not a big Star Wars fan, so we had to cut you off
Star Wars.
No, that's not true. When did I ever say that?
That's not true, actually.
You said that to my face. You said I'm not a big Star Wars fan. Didn't he say that,
I'm not as big of a Star Wars fan as y'all.
No, that's not what happened. When did I ever say miss you? Then you can't be on the text. Bro, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Daniel, what happened? I'm the one who started the Joelle Donald text chain, which is solely Star Wars fan geek shit, because they have their own podcast that they're going to do called The Black Side. So, Daniel, I didn't think that you wanted to know about, like, some weird thing on Reddit I find about Star Wars, or some new Lego ship about Star Wars.
Have all of the group chats you want. I just thought I wanted to make sure that I didn't miss something.
He's pissed, Donald.
Oh, jeez.
Donald, his feelings are hurt.
Look, a little peek behind the curtain for everybody who's watching. You may remember my first major appearance on the podcast was complaining about Spectrum, and here I am having my own internet issues, and it gets me heated.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
Okay.
But that's all. So I'm not, trust me, I'm thrilled to know that there is a Star Wars exclusive group chat. I'm just sitting here waiting for a text from AT&T to tell me that the technician's coming to my house.
Okay.
Imagine out of nowhere, Daniel's like, I don't give a fuck about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Daniel looks a bit heated.
Star Wars.
He's
like, I don't give a shit. My fucking cable is out.
Yeah.
That means I can't twitch. I can't make it rain.
He can't twitch. He can't ride the pole. It's like a stripper having no pole.
Oh my goodness.
The pole's down.
His pole is down.
Oh my god,
that's funny.
Dude, you're like a stripper looking at the pole being like, I need the fucking pole up, bro.
I need the pole back up. What are you doing?
The ship was UCS Star Wars Republic gunship, and there are 3,300 pieces to it.
Yeesh. Yeah, Donald, you getting that shit?
No.
Yeah, I'm gonna get it.
Yeah, get it.
I like to get Legos to procrastinate, right?
Lego. There's no S.
No one fucking cares, bro. Nobody cares.
If I do, there's got to be at least 47 people that do.
Okay, of the thousands or hundreds of thousands of people that listen to this, there's probably 7 people that care about the S on the end of the fucking Lego. Sorry, 7 people.
You're welcome. 7 people.
I like to get giant Lego projects for when I'm supposed to be writing, and then I say, I'm going to write once I finish the spaceship.
A little procrastination that comes with a finished product. Be like, I waste time. Look at this. It's beautiful.
Look what I've
you should
made.
See Agreed. The things I've made in trying not to write, to avoid writing. I'm like,
what's the best thing you've made in trying to avoid writing?
One of those, you know those like Lego, like for adults, like the houses? It's like
the
hotel or the restaurant or the barbershop. Yeah. I've made like a fucking street of those.
Yes.
Yeah.
My dream is to have a whole room that's nothing but Legos. Just a Lego
room. Donald had it.
Oh, my goodness.
Casey fucking moved in and ruined it.
Joel.
I know. I said Legos. I'm so sorry. There's just multiples of them. An S should be there. It's just not grammatically correct. I don't like it.
Donald, you got to fucking pick your battles. That's a dumb thing to hang your hat on.
I just hate it when people are like, I am such a huge fan. People don't know this about me. But me, it goes back deep. I love me some Legos. And it's like, wait a second, dog. You're not a huge fan. It doesn't go back deep. It means jack shit to you, because you know if it did, you would know there's no S.
That's bullshit.
At the end.
That's bullshit. Because
I'm a huge fan. It goes back deep. I remember when I first got my first set. I love me some Lego. That's how it is.
Okay. I just want to say to you, it goes back deep for me.
Yeah.
It was my favorite toy throughout my childhood. At 46, I still build with Lego.
Thank you. There you go. Respect the brand.
Oh my God, you're ridiculous. Let's talk about the show because we're not going to be able to get to this in an hour.
All right, so let's get it.
So
all right,
much.
So you pull up on Sasha. Yes, Sasha's freshly out of the shot.
Yes. Now, if you recall, Sasha was at the bottom of a pothole that was very deep, and so they somehow resuscitated her and brought her back to life. And she's finally out of the shop, and I roll her up, and then the Quickie Mart is robbed, and the cops pull up,
and the dude that's
about
robbing the Quickie Mart, he has a choice. Do I jump behind a wall, or do I jump behind a scooter?
And I'm like, the wall! Behind the wall!
And he jumps behind a scooter.
Yeah, and they blast the fucking scooter, and I go, who's still shooting? She's down! Oh my
now,
God!
Was that so funny? Was that it's over? You saying cut?
No, I was like it's over. I was just riffing random shit. But I think that's the first time we've had gunfire on Scrubs.
Yeah,
that was funny, and that was just so silly. Sasha,
that was very funny. That was very very silly.
You're very silly. And then we go to the CAT scan room. Or is it an MRI? I don't know. Don't yell at me, medical professionals. And then that joke about the Sasha Forever bracelet is so funny.
Right.
My scooter Sasha was assassinated. And then you go, he loves her. He even wore a Sasha Forever bracelet. And I'm like, I don't wear that anymore. And then I only wore it for 1 week. And then ding, the magnet goes on and the bracelet clicks to the machine. That was funny.
Yeah. And then I laugh at you. And then I get caught. And then Turk gets caught with his watch. Oh, my watch.
Yeah. You can't have that metal in that room.
No, I guess not. I didn't know
Carla,
that.
Yeah. That's why they ask you 9 times when you have that done. Like, do you have metal on you? Do you have metal implants? Do you have metal in your mouth? Like, you can't have metal in that room.
So this is where all of the silliness really circles around. If you had money,
yes.
Carla asks, because she wants to win the lottery's up, and it's up to $100 million. Carla gets lotto fever and starts convincing people in the hospital to buy lotto tickets so that they can all draw, so that when they draw together, if the hospital wins $100 million, everybody's rich, right?
Right.
She then proposes the question, asks the question, or somebody asks her the question, if you had $100 million, what would you do? Carla would make it so Turk has a baby.
Yeah.
Has the baby, yeah.
Carla clearly doesn't want to be pregnant because her fantasy, what she would spend her $100 million on, is making her husband pregnant.
Right.
You look good with that belly, though.
Totally, man.
It's not an image you see.
You could tell. You could tell the baby had turned by that point, too. You know
what
I mean?
Yes, it had turned. You were probably dilated.
Most likely.
Yeah.
7 or 8 centimeters.
I don't know how many centimeters. Well, I guess it's your asshole, right? It's going to be an ass baby.
Yeah,
it's not going to come out of your. It's not going to come out of your urethra.
No. It has to be an ass baby.
If they ever, they made this movie, right, with Schwarzenegger. And in the movie, is it a C-section? How did they discuss in the movie?
I don't know, but there's a labor scene and he's pushing, so I don't know that it's a C-section.
Oh, so it must be an anus baby.
Gotta be an ass baby.
Joelle, can you Google how Arnold Schwarzenegger delivered the baby in that movie? What was that movie called?
Pregnant?
Kindergarten Cop? No. Arnold Schwarzenegger has had a very, very, very varied film career.
Yes.
That is true.
I mean, look at the canon. It goes from all those crazy action movies to Kindergarten Cop.
Right. You know,
what's it called, Joelle?
Junior.
Junior.
I'm trying to figure out how the baby was born.
Yes, can you? I'm sure there's a Reddit thread called "How did he possibly give birth?"
My guess is it's an ass baby. That's my personal.
Yeah, I mean,
guess.
there's only one option. It's not through the urethra, so it's an ass baby.
The baby
it's
is
definitely
passed.
A C-section.
The baby
it's a
is
C-section.
Passed.
But Donald said he pushed.
I'm watching the scene on YouTube, and they're definitely slicing him open.
Is he asleep when they slice him open?
No, they say very specifically, you're going to be awake for this.
Oh, Donald, you might remember that he probably had contractions.
Got it.
That would have been funnier if they made it an ass baby. I don't like that they chose
C-section. I love the idea of the baby having to travel through the small and lower intestines to
No, I think they would just connect whatever they implanted in him, they somehow connect to the lower rectum.
They say it's in his colon.
Push.
Like you literally shit a baby.
Yeah, you know that these people who wrote this fucking movie must have sat there around the table being like, so do we do ass baby or do we do C-section?
What was happening in 94 that this
I
got
wish
made?
I was in that writer's room. I would have been like, guys, I'm very honored to be on this project. I'm very grateful. I will leave if it's not ass baby. I will walk. if we as a team chicken out and it's C-section, I'm off the project.
Guys, this is the craziest thing I've ever viewed in my entire life. Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
All right. So Turk's pregnant.
That's what now, she would do with the money.
Oh, my God. This part's so funny. So Elliot's made out with a patient's father, and she comes running into the nurse's station, and you and I are standing there. And then Carlos says, I can't believe you do that to – and then they stop, and then we turn, and simultaneously –
What did you do?
Was it naughty? Yes. Like, we say that at the same time, right? And then they use their secret technique. They start talking about shoe shopping, which apparently makes all men
distracted and thinking.
Totally zone out and go into almost like a trance. It's a hypnotic trance.
They're just not there anymore.
And then she pops us back with the words lace bra.
And we're like, huh?
And then you go, be specific. And I go, were they D's? Dude, this episode had me rolling. It is so fucking silly. Lace bra. Were they D's?
Be specific.
We were in a trance. All right, so then just because literally every scene has something huge and broad. So Johnny Castle, Doug, has a body that's the rigor mortis is set in, and he needs Ted the lawyer's help.
Right,
To help straighten him out, because he's not going to fit in the body bag sitting up.
Right, to hold the legs down. To hold the legs down.
So Ted, why is Ted watching the little TV? Is that for the lottery?
Yeah, because he's the one that told, that's exactly it. Ted's the one that told Carla that the lottery's up to 100 million. He's the one that asks Carla, what would she do for the money? He puts the idea in her mind, so he's holding it. Because
all right, but why is he? I don't understand the idea that he like the lottery's not going to be announced for like at least 24 hours, right? Why is he holding the TV?
I have no idea. It's just he's passing time. It. He's passing time in the hospital holding a tiny TV.
Yes. Okay. So he's got a tiny TV. We think he's waiting for the lottery announcement. He lies on the legs. Johnny pushes the patient's dead body down, and Ted goes flying
out the window. Yeah.
There's that's one of three giant window gags in this episode alone. Okay, so that's Ted and Johnny Castle. Mr. Foster dies.
Right, and then
we enter the world of the because when a patient dies, and unexpectedly, I'm assuming there's a morbidity and mortality conference. Which is what we get called to do. And then the whole structure of this episode becomes really unique, that it's flashing back to and from the morbidity and mortality conference. And do you remember the song we made up at this conference?
Turn around in urgent care.
Turn around in urgent care. This is so random that no one will get unless we explain, but the urgent care section of the hospital was what we used to build sets. So like
swing sets.
Yeah, we call them swing sets. Sets that weren't necessarily in every episode. It could be the bar some weeks. It could be Jason Bateman's apartment in this week. It just, you know, they would swing around different sets. And this conference, we were shooting at a real auditorium like that, and it was so late. And the turnaround, which would be facing that dais with Cox and Kelso on it, with just a blue curtain, we were all like, it's so late. Couldn't you guys just set this blue curtain up in this dais in urgent care? And remember, Randall, the producer, was like, maybe. We'll talk about that later, but come on, we're going to keep shooting. And we were all so tired, and we all started chanting, turn around in urgent care.
We got in trouble for that.
Yeah, they didn't like that. But it was so fucking funny that we remember that this many years later, that night, yelling, turn around in urgent care.
I remember making
because the crew got into it too. They were tired too. They were like, turn around and urgent care.
It was late.
Oh my God. I laughed out loud, dude, at me crawling to Carla's microphone at the conference.
To freaking talk on
it. I can't find a hot mic, so I just keep crawling. And then I just go back and sit down, and he asks me another question, and I start crawling back. And he goes, Dr. Dorian, I'm 8 feet from you. I can hear you.
What I don't know, okay, so we'll get to it at the end of the show also, but Cox is the one that blames everybody for this person's death. He's like, I'm betting it's one of you guys' fault.
Yeah, he thinks we fucked up.
Right. And we'll get to what happens at the end.
Okay.
But let's just
we also learned that JD has a hug schedule, okay?
For he and Turk.
And others. No, is it just, I think it's others too.
All I know is he gives Turk a hug in the morning and...
Well, you were scheduled for two, and then you piss me off. I cross you off. Then you express that you're upset about it, and you hear the voiceover go, he's hurting. Hug him now.
And then you go to hug me, and obviously I was hurting because I go to hug you too, and then we get interrupted.
Was that the waffle foot thing, or is that a different section?
I think it's the waffle foot thing.
Yeah, that's the waffle foot thing, dude.
Did you laugh at waffle foot?
I cracked up at waffle foot.
I laughed so hard at waffle foot. I could not stop. Do you remember having to put on the gag for Wafflefoot?
No, I don't remember it, but I'm sure it was difficult because I'm very ticklish on the bottom of my feet. Like if I get a massage, I don't like my feet touched. Like I get so ticklish. So I can't imagine how I survived them putting a waffle prosthetic on my foot. But it looked great. They did a good job.
Okay, do you recall the reason why he got waffle-footed?
I think I pissed off the cafeteria staff. I wrote this down. Oh, yeah, the calf workers, I accused them of giving me smaller waffles than others.
Yes.
And I'm assuming this was Troy had something to do with this. and Crazy Eyes and Crazy Eyes Margo, right? They got together and they waffled my foot.
They waffled your foot.
Which is like really like
that's
a felony.
Brutal.
That's like a felony.
That's brutal. Oh, you gotta complain about the wall. Then this is what happened. This is what this means. One of them was like, complain about a waffle one more time to me.
Yep.
Just do it one more time.
Yep.
I'm a waffle your foot.
Yep.
And JD, with pride and with all of his pride, was like, I'm just saying.
Yep.
His waffle seems a little bit bigger than mine.
Yes. If you look at the scale, my waffles do appear smaller.
And at that moment, they grabbed you, took you in back, and then waffled your foot.
I like to think that Crazy Eyes Margo tackled me and held me down until Troy could come get me.
Right, until Troy subdued.
I mean, it's so bizarre. God, this episode has so much. We introduce, first of all, oh my God, the fucking janitor's fantasy of what he would do with the $100 million.
Yeah, dude.
He would train a shark.
Right. Casey was like, what the fuck is this?
Well, this is at least a fantasy. I mean, at least this is a fantasy. The ostriches are in the real world.
That's the real world. That's real world.
So the janitor in his fantasy has trained a shark. And not only has he trained the shark, but the shark is able to communicate through walkie-talkies.
Yeah, he spent all of that money. That's what he spent the money on.
Right, but the shark isn't just trained to kill. The shark will respond to walkie-talkie communication.
Yeah, not only respond to walkie-talkie communication, can understand it. And there's a bunch of commands. There were at least two.
Yeah.
What was the first one? Stand down.
He goes, wait for him. And then he goes, the lobster's in the pool.
Cool, right. So he trained the shark.
Sorry, the lobster's in the pot. The lobster's in the pot.
So he trained the shark to understand code words also.
Yes, the shark is very smart.
Very smart. $100 million smart.
Yeah, but also like, does the shark wear a headset or is
it's implanted?
Shark, it's implanted.
Be, it has
it's
to be.
Yeah, because I just, I, when I when
implanted.
I saw it, I pictured the shark had like a walkie-talkie headset.
The shark's Jabba Jaw. Do you remember Jabba Jaw? They call him Jabba 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 Jaw.
No, but this is
I'm
straight
the
out of...
most stupidest shark you ever saw. He's a shark that could talk and would walk on land named Jabba Jaw.
I never saw that, but this was
very Hanna-Barbera.
It was very reminiscent of Jaws. I think the stuntman had lines tied to my waist.
You had to be on some type of...
No, yeah, concept. it wasn't without help. You couldn't have done that. But I think, as I recall, the stuntmen had, like, they were, like, one on either side of the pool, and they had lines tied to my waist. I probably had, like, a stunt waist belty thing on. And then they were just ripping me around the pool.
Crazy.
I remember thinking, like, this is probably going to hurt tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, then we also introduced the legendary floating head doctor in this episode.
What a fuck! Listen, what was going on in the writers' room when they were like, "We're gonna shoot the whole thing."
We gotta redo this episode with Bill because this is like such a tipping point, like crescendo of silliness in the Scrubs
like,
world.
Dude, who was like, "We should do a bit where a floating head has to freaking."
I know. I always think they were stoners.
CPR
but they weren't really stoners.
Yeah, they had to be. Come on, bro.
Think of them. We know them all. They weren't big potheads. There's like some of this is such silly stoner humor.
That's what I said to my wife. I was like, babe, this is like the epitome of what it means.
And in fact, Deb, who's the main writer on it, was probably the most straight-laced writer of them all.
Far from it, right.
She was, and I'm sure is religious, and she was very funny, obviously, but she was like the least stonery silly.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be right back with more Floating Head Doctor after these words.
And we are back.
Casey, come down here. It's a bop, right?
It's good.
Joelle, don't you think it's a bop?
No, I really do. I'm sorry, I'm just nodding my head and not giving vocal confirmation that it is fun as hell. It's really fun. And sometimes
Daniel, the DJ, says it's a bop.
It's a bop and a half. Yeah, and the new version is like really clean.
Yeah, Jess didn't phone it in. She really produced the fuck out of it.
Yep.
I like to sing it when I'm cooking. Cooking my
eggs. It's hooky. I walk around my apartment singing it.
Yeah.
Total earworm.
Do you think I should write jingles as my side career, guys?
I mean, we got two hit songs because we got three hit songs.
I know.
What you trying to get into?
What you trying to get into? What you trying to do?
You want to go big on TikTok?
What you trying to get into?
I feel like I could be the new John Tesh.
Ooh.
I love that.
I will be at your Red Rock.
That's an old reference that young people that listen won't get. We've spoken about it on the podcast. He was an Entertainment Tonight host.
Yeah, yes.
Who wrote jingles. All right. So, Floating Head Doctor, I yell, body come. Now, my body is down in the gym working out next to Richard Wells. Did you notice Richard Wells?
Yes, I did notice Richard Wells.
The very handsome African-American man next to my body working out is our best first assistant director of the whole run.
Yes, and he became the UPM.
He became the unit production manager, and he's a really, really amazing guy. And so he had a little cameo there. I think he has a few cameos throughout the show.
Yeah, he's directed a few episodes. He'll soon direct a few episodes.
Yes,
also.
He did direct some. We love Richard. And body wipes out into the post.
Yeah.
So I have to do CPR just by slamming my
head. With your head, yeah. That's weed, man. That's got to be weed. It's got to be weed. I know, Deb. I know, listen, it's got to be some type of narcotic that has
it's
pushed.
It's not. It's You know what it is? It's just
hallucinogen.
It's something that only happens in really fun comedy writers' rooms where everybody gets so batty and silly. And they just start pitching the silliest stuff, and everyone's cracking up. And they just, you know, it's probably late night, and you just come up with some silly-ass shit.
It's crazy.
The ostriches that we've stumbled across now.
Okay, hold on. Let's go back. Let's talk about Jason Bateman being on the
show.
Yeah,
Bateman. The Jason Bateman.
I know why we skipped over it. because what the fuck is Jason Bateman doing on the show? Like, this could have been anybody. This could have been anybody.
I know the story. Jason and I were friends, and Arrested Development and Scrubs were both doing really, really well. And we were at some cocktail party with the head of Fox and the head of NBC. And I had a buzz, and Jason and I were chatting, and I was like, I want to be on your show. And he's like, I want to be on your show. I was like, hey, the heads of the different networks are here. Let's go ask them if they'll be okay with us being on. You know, it was a party. Everyone was having fun. Right. And I was like, hey, so-and-so, can I be on a Fox show just as a guest spot? And he was like, sure. And then, hey, so-and-so, Jason was like, can I be on the NBC show? And they're like, sure. And like, literally that's how it happened. And then we told Bill, and I did a cameo as a never nude on Arrested Development.
You're a fucking never nude.
Yeah, I was a never nude on Arrested Development. And then this was Jason's cameo. And I think I'm assuming he only was available for like a day because.
Dude, I think he maybe had like four lines in the whole show.
Yeah, he didn't have much to do. We should have given him more. But he's Jason Bateman. He's funny doing anything. And yeah. But that's how it came about. So
we stumble on the ostriches.
Okay, we come across the ostriches.
We come across the sign first.
Yes.
And the sign says, beware of, and we have to wipe it, and it says birds, and we laugh. And I've got on this silly red Kango.
By the way, I was with Brett Goldstein and Bill. Brett Goldstein plays Roy Kent on Ted Lasso. And I was telling him that I was telling Bill, we're about to get to the ostrich episode, and it's so funny. And I watched something hilarious, which was Bill, with the giggles, pitch to Brett. The micro plot of you and I, and it was hilarious because Bill has an incredible memory, and without watching the episode he was recounting the shots. He's like, and then Brett, you see one of the ostrich's legs slowly close the gate.
they're organized.
And then I go, yep, there goes the sentry. There goes the sentry every 3 minutes like clockwork. So yeah. In the world of Scrubs, everybody, not in a fantasy.
No.
The ostriches.
Ostriches can be trained. Yeah. Can be trained. Yes, go ahead.
They were trained. First of all, they purposefully trapped us by closing the gate.
Yes.
They treat us.
They treat us, yes.
Which I think is a verb. And then they... I fall down because I want to give you a hug, of course. We had to find a reason why JD fell out of the tree because he thought it was a good time to hug you.
That ostriches, it's funny to me because I remember how they shot that shit, but the ostrich peeking from behind the tree.
Yeah, that was that was a fake ostrich, that
yes,
one.
That made me laugh harder than anything because I remember how they shot that shit.
I remember this whole thing. Oh, my God. And so, yeah. So then the ostrich kicks me through Jason Bateman's window.
Right. Because we find out that
you've Googled it on your phone.
They're usually docile creatures, but their kick can kill someone.
Yes. And then you hear,
right, and you go flying through a window.
Right. And I get kicked into Mr. Sutton's living room where Jason says, aren't they so majestic? I make belts with their necks.
Right.
And he pulls out off his belt.
Right. And then I get kicked in through the window.
Oh, my God. The funniest, dude, is when you go, I go, why didn't you escape? And you go, I did escape. They were waiting in the car. So the ostriches have gotten into the car, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then Jason says, that's Leon. Loves a car ride.
And then I go, that ostrich stole my hat.
Right, my Kango.
My Kango.
Now I took a picture of it because I had to. I wanted to send it to Bill to just let him know where we're at. But look at this.
That's too funny.
It's an ostrich wearing a Kango. Now, Donald, I don't know if PETA would be down with however they strapped that Kango to that ostrich's head.
I'm sure it was done the right way.
So yeah, kidding. There's always an animal safety person on set. But
that's right.
The ostrich was indeed wearing a Kango. It might be the first. Do you think it's the only ostrich who's ever worn a Kango in history of Earth?
I doubt that. I doubt that.
Why? Why can't we be so bold as to say that?
Because you thought of it, and so therefore it's a possibility that it's happened before.
You know that thing I do in Garden State where my character's like, you know, I like to do something I've never thought of before, and I make Natalie make like random noises. Because I used to really do that as a kid. I would be like, I had this little weird game I made up as a young kid where I would be like, I want to be original. No one has ever stood on this spot, put their head like this, put their hand like this, and be like, and like I'd make like some weird long noise. And I'm like, no one's ever done that. In the history of Earth, no one has ever done that.
Right. But and that's why I'd be wrong.
And that's why I put it into Garden State, right? So I'm just sitting here thinking, I think in the history of mankind, no one has ever strapped a kango to an ostrich's head.
You're absolutely wrong.
Joelle, your thoughts.
I believe that because it looks so cute and sweet when he walked in, which I don't even like, birds terrify me. This is honestly my worst nightmare. But if he looks so cute in his look, I don't like birds. They're either like rats with wings and disgusting or horrifying birds of prey that will keep me up at night. There have been ravens outside my window calling all morning. I don't like it. I close my windows.
I like birds singing.
Sure, that's pretty, as long as it's very far away from me. I don't like the flapping and in my face. They have, like, beaks of death.
I have a weird thing with birds in cages. I always feel so bad for them.
Because they're supposed to be out there flying in the sky, far away from us.
I'm sorry, you listeners who love birds, including my mom, who has little parakeets in cages. It's just, I always feel like, aw, let them fly.
I agree. But it's cute. Hmm. So, yes, probably other... ostriches have worn kangos before. I don't know if any of them have had red kangos that look this
great. I don't agree, Joelle. I think that, Daniel, what are your thoughts? Has an ostrich ever worn a kango in the history of mankind?
Yes.
I don't think so. I think you're original on this one. You honor me. You honor me.
Thank you. All right.
Okay, there it is.
All right. So there's the ostriches.
Now, somebody out there's like, fuck y'all, man. I came up with that shit.
Right.
It's like Eddie Murphy when he was the black member of the Beatles. She loves you, Woods. She loves you, man. She's got a ticket to ride, Woods. She's got a ticket to ride, but the bitch don't care, man.
I forgot that sketch. That's so funny. It was a whole bit about him being the fifth Beatle and being kicked out.
Yeah. All right. I suggest you take that sarcastic tone out your voice.
All right, so we learned that Cox would spend his $100 million putting Jordan in a glass box.
Right. So and he
Krista,
could watch the
Krista
sport.
Takes her boobie out and puts it on the glass.
It's glorious.
It was sexy.
Glorious.
I don't mean any disrespect to Bill Lawrence, but his wife's boobie in that bra on the glass was
glorious.
Sexual. It was glorious. Yep. And she's licking the glass, too?
Yep.
Donald.
Yep.
You shifted.
I'm not going to say that, man. I don't want. Listen, man. I
think Krista, who doesn't listen to the show, I'm sure, would be honored that you shifted.
Well, then, if that's the case, yes, I did have a little bit of a shift.
Wait. Oh, Sarah's would spend $100 million building a husband.
A robot. Yeah, a robot husband.
And then the husband goes, Mazel Tov. Right. And she goes, oh, why did I make him Jewish? My parents will kill me.
Yeah. I didn't realize that, you know, marrying a Jewish man was still considered, I guess, back in the early 2000s.
Of course there's people that don't want, there's so many people who are anti-Semitic. They don't want.
I didn't know that. My point is, I didn't know that Elliot's parents were one of those people.
Well, they're you know, if you remember them, they're like cartoonishly waspy Connecticut, you know. They're not. Right. They're probably not down with the.
Well, I mean, her
Jewish
mom
robot.
Is. But her
they
mom
probably
is
they would probably would prefer a Protestant robot.
Or Episcopalian robot
who wears loafers, and is really good at squash. Squash is the whitest sport ever.
Squash.
Yeah.
Up there.
You'd probably be great at it, Donald.
I do love hitting.
I want to play pickleball with you.
That's squash, dude, pretty much, isn't it?
No. Squash is like racquetball vibes, whereas pickleball is like...
I can't see how squash could be considered... I mean, like, handball, hitting a ball against a wall can't be considered, like, white sports because white sports, it seems like, were the expensive sports. And I feel like all you need is a wall to play handball.
No, it's just like, I mean, it's just a synonymous. But I mean, I could be wrong, but I equate it with like the country club and like, sure, do you want like those guys in Trading Places? Should we play squash? You know?
Right.
It's like rich guy racquetball.
Yep.
Got it.
Right, Daniel?
Yeah, I agree with that. If you see a squash court, it's always like a really like fancy thing, and everybody's got their, you know, their nice whites on.
It's like croquet. It's kind of like croquet.
I always
should we play croquet after squash, Paul? And then
and
have a glass of milk
on the ball. Best part of another Eddie Murphy movie.
Yeah,
and she stepped
on the ball. Elliot is duct taped to the wall with the phrase "I'm a whore."
Yes. Which was another funny little side piece, side story. She gets tricked by a man. He convinces her that he's not married by just telling her his wife's not around. So she automatically thinks his wife has passed away. They kiss. Turns out he still has a wife. She just wasn't around in the room at the time.
Yeah.
Then Elliot convinces him to, because she thinks he's scum, to go in there and fess up to his wife what he's done.
Yeah.
And then after she's done it, she realizes, wait, this could backfire against me.
And that was so funny. Sarah was so funny in that scene where he's headed in there to look.
She's like, wait, what?
Wait, no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
no,
no, no, no, no, no.
That woman was good, too. She did a good job.
Whore!
Yeah, she screams that she's a whore. And then Elliot runs into the room where we're all in, and she's like, where is that whore? And she's hiding.
And then Elliot finally, you know, gets the cojones to step up and say, look, we've both been wronged here. It's not my fault. It's not your fault. It's his fault. But she doesn't want to hear it. The wife doesn't want to hear it. And
that
she's
woman,
like,
I mean,
do you
woman,
know what I do to whores?
Yeah, but how did that woman do to whores? How did that woman do that? I mean, she had to incapacitate Elliot.
Yes, and then
maybe
somehow,
Troy and Crazy Eyes Margo helped, but someone had to help her duct tape Elliot to the wall. Up,
yeah, never.
It's never really explained.
Yeah,
and then one of the last most bizarre things in this fucking episode is that Jason Bateman's character makes me feel bad for not appreciating garbage men. So I wait by the garbage for my garbage man, whose name is Jabari.
Jabari.
Yeah, I definitely made that up because there was a Jabari in my high school. And Jabari grabs my ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Not only, yes. Yes. Jabari, you go to hug Jabari and then he grabs your ass. Yes.
I can't imagine how awkward it is. That was definitely made up on the day. But Bill or someone was like, wouldn't it be funny if he grabbed your ass? And like saying to that guy, like, hey, sir, how are you? Nice to meet you. So we're going to hug, and then if you wouldn't mind, would you squeeze my ass?
Okay, so I have one beef about this whole thing, this whole episode. So Cox is there the whole time. The whole time Cox is there.
In the hospital.
In the hospital.
Right.
He's there talking about the lotto stuff. He talks to... he talks to Sarah's character. He talks to you and I's
so,
character.
So, yeah, I see. You're saying there's a plot hole.
Yeah, how can he sit here and talk about there being, you know, nobody, nothing being covered when he's there the whole time?
Well, that's a good point. But he can't, you know, he's no Superman, Donald. He can't cover the entire hospital.
I totally understand that.
He can't cover the entire... And I think in all honesty... Someone died who shouldn't have died, and Cox is pissed. He's like, you guys fucked up. Like, you left it to the interns?
No, but that's not what happened. He died from a pulmonary embolism.
Right. We learned that reveal in the end from Johnny Castle running in. But I think at the time, Cox, you know, he's kind of bringing down the hammer. He's like, you know, fuck-ups are going to happen, but you guys fucked up, and now we need to talk about accountability. I can't I can't be the only doctor in this hospital. Where the fuck were you guys? You told, because of all your fucking mishigas, you left this to the interns and he's dead. You know, I understand that he was genuinely pissed off and wanted them to be held accountable.
But then once they're off the hook, he's still upset.
Yeah. Well, they're off the hook because they got lucky that it was actually something they had no control over. But they shouldn't be out chasing ostriches and fucking hooking up with patients' parents and more obsessing about the lottery. Like, there's lives to be saved. They can't be fucking around.
The whole hospital was obsessing about the lottery, too. So,
and then that was really beautiful. That, you know, of course, classic Bill Lawrence, you know, this is the silliest fucking episode so far. And then it ends with that, the ghost following us all around. That was beautiful.
Casey said, started crying. She's like, oh my God.
I mean, that's the magic of Scrubs, man. And we can say that because we didn't write it. But the fact that this dude and his posse, Bill and his entourage, can have you looking at an ostrich with a Kango hat, and then the next scene you have tears in your eyes because something is so beautiful as that. That was really good.
Yeah. Great episode. I laughed
Great episode. I'm telling you, if you just listen to this show and you don't go watch them, watch that one again. It is so funny. And if you do enjoy Jazz Cabbage, you should enjoy Jazz
Cabbage. It's great. If you're a weed smoker.
It will pair nicely with Jazz Cabbage.
It pairs well.
Joelle, do we have a guest?
We do.
All right, so we're going to take a break. We're going to empty our bladders.
Yes.
And we will be right back with a really fun guest.
And we're back.
Wu-Tang Forever.
Do or do not. There is no try.
All right, we are back.
I'm trying, Yoda. I am trying.
How's your no weed thing going?
It's good. You know, it's not no weed. It's just a lot less weed.
Uh-huh.
A lot less weed, dude. Like a lot less weed. I went from
That's good.
Smoking a crap ton of weed a day to smoking very little weed a day. And it actually feels better than smoking a crap ton of weed. I think when you get to the crap ton of weed, you get that addicted shit. And when you smoke just a little, I don't know.
I know of too many people that are addicted to weed. Like, anyone who says weed isn't addictive is bullshit.
Out of their mind. They're lying.
I know people that are like a different person now because all they do is smoke weed.
Yeah.
And I think that's a damn shame.
It is a damn shame.
Listen, Joelle, who do you have for us today?
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage, maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joelle, let's get the show on the road.
Give it up for Noah!
Hi, Noel.
Don't act so surprised, Your
Noel,
Highness.
Noel, are you? Noel has a shocked face on. It is.
You knew you
us.
Were going to be. You knew you were going to
yes,
be.
Yes, but
the
when
podcast,
you see Donald Faison and
don't
Joelle
act
Monique,
so surprised
when you she's fanning herself like they do in the movies, like they do in church, like
fanning those. Her eyes to stop them from crying.
Noel, nice to meet you. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Oh anytime.
You're very welcome. Where are you calling us from?
Oh. I'm calling from a Padunk town, Rolla, Missouri, I'm really from St. Louis.
Rolla, Missouri, even though you're from St. Louis.
What do you do in Rolla, Missouri, Noel?
Oh, I'm working from home.
Yeah, like a lot of people are. Yeah, you've done a lot of decorating in your beautiful home there, Noel.
Do my best.
You audience would get that joke if you saw that Noelle has just a blank white wall behind her.
And a lamp.
And a lamp.
She's got to be able to see.
What do you do, Noelle? What is your work that you do from home?
Oh, I process payroll for an international company called Premium Retail Services.
Okay. Are you able to skim a little something off the top without them knowing?
No.
Okay. Because there you was should. That movie. What movie was that, Donald, where they realize that the percentage of tiny cents they steal is the little
office
something.
Space.
Office space.
Oh, Office Space, that masterpiece of a movie.
Yeah,
you could pull an Office Space, Noel, and just see what happens.
Noel, I'm
going
to recommend.
Caught at the end.
Noel,
yeah,
I'm going to
get caught at the end.
I'm going to recommend you don't do that. Don't do that, Noel.
But Noel, I'm just saying, since you know this and you're in charge of payroll, you should look at Office Space and just see if it's viable for you.
I recommend watching Office Space because it's very funny.
Yes.
I do not think you should watch it for research on how you should pull a heist. In
I'm just saying, I've never spoken to someone who's actually in payroll, and I just wanted to know if she's considered embezzling like they did in Office Space.
Right. I don't think that's the movie to watch.
Right.
To...
We don't promote embezzlement on this show, Noel. I don't know why you brought it up. Noel, welcome. Do you have a question for us?
So... what is the most obscure life advice you've been given to date?
The most obscure
life advice
I've been given to
date. What's the advice that the mom gives Steve Martin in The Jerk? Or is it the dad?
It's the dad, I'm sure.
Don't trust Whitey is one of them.
Right. You laugh because it's true. Imagine.
Lord loves a working man.
Yeah,
don't
Lord
trust
loves
Whitey.
Wait, Lord loves a working man. Don't trust Whitey. And what else?
See a doctor and get rid of it.
That might be the best advice ever. See a doctor and get rid of it.
Oh, my God. If you haven't seen The Jerk, you can't be our friend. It's just a masterpiece. I don't know. Obscure life advice. Do any of you guys have any good, obscure, weird life advice someone's given you?
I don't know if it's how obscure it is, but like get a morning routine is something that's absolutely changing my professional life. You know, I used to just get up and hop on my computer and start work because I have a lot to do. And I have my brain is clearer in the morning than it is at the end of the day. So I was like, I just got to rush it and get as much done as possible. But then my therapist was like, what if you just, you know, took a minute to like really get yourself together and grounded and see if that would work for you? You know, try doing the same thing every morning and see if you're not as stressed out by the time you actually approach your work. And it's working and I really enjoy it. So get a morning routine.
That's good.
Does Yoda count as obscure life advice?
Yes.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Yeah. I mean,
I love it.
Yeah. There you go. Write that down. I don't know how obscure it is, but I think one of the most beneficial thing my father told me was just to not be intimidated by asking bold questions and making bold requests of people. That's something that that throughout my life has really paid off because 98% of the time people go, sure, you know, and you're like nervous to do it. You're like, oh my God, I'm not going to ask. Like there's this filmmaker I really, really look up to and I admire and my agent represents him. And this is just a recent example. And I was like, I'm going to ask my agent to ask him if he'll read the script. My latest script, because like I really love this guy. I love his thoughts on it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm kind of nervous. Like, what if he's like, I'm not going to read some. And then he's like, sure, I'll read it. He read it, gave me amazing notes. And that's just a recent example, but it goes back my whole life. Like I like just having, there's like a Jewish, Yiddish expression, chutzpah, which basically means having balls, but like having the chutzpah to just ask bold questions of people, ask big requests of people. Not get in your head about, oh, they're going to think this, they're going to think that. And like, no, step up to the mic and go, hey, person that I admire or look up to. Anyway, that's my pep talk. That's a piece of advice my late father gave me that I always think about.
It works for you too, because sometimes you do it and you don't even know that you're doing it. Like you, I remember when Dick Van Dyke was on the show, it was you that asked him to sing while I played. And it was something that I was having a hard time doing. And you did it. It was so... I want to say cavalier how you did it. It was like off the cuff. Like, and then he was like, he plays Jolly Holiday. And Dick was like, oh, does he? And Zach goes, yeah, he's going to play it for you later. And when he plays it, you should sing along with him. Why don't you sing along with him? That's how you asked him. And he was like, yeah, okay, sure.
All right,
and that's
now
it came about.
Of course. But in that example, Donald, I was totally fucking nervous to do that. But I stepped up. What I'm saying is, The advice I'm passing forward to Noel and anyone who cares is you step up to the fearful moment and then cross it. I'm nervous to ask Dick Van Dyke if he'll sing with my best friend. But I think of my father and I summon my chutzpah and I go, Dick, you should sing with Donald. And then, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen? He's going to be like, oh, no, I don't sing anymore, but I'd love to hear Donald sing. And what's the best that can happen? One of the fucking greatest moments of your life.
Right. Do or do not. There is no try. Same thing.
You know what my favorite expression is that I've been thinking about a lot lately? I don't know who said this. Y'all can Google it if you care. Your life begins at the edge of your comfort zone.
Yes.
Mm. Yoda.
Joelle, say preach. That. Joelle, can you preach. Say preach? Yeah.
Yoda said
your life
that.
Begins Yoda. At the edge of your comfort zone.
No, Dom from Fast and the Furious said that shit.
No, he didn't.
That's exactly
I mean, how he says life. A version of it in the movie.
Yeah. Life.
Well, but I don't think he originated the line.
He didn't write that. It's a famous quote. I don't know who said it. But I think about that a lot. When you have, yeah, when it comes to family, your life begins at the edge of comfort zone. All right, Noelle, what's your next question? If you don't have a second question, it's fine. Donald can beatbox.
Yo, I'll punch you right in your dick.
I mean, dude. I do want to hear the beatbox.
I will punch you right in your dick.
Do your little Lamar. Don't say dick in front of Noelle, ass fuck.
Ass fuck? I'm an ass fuck? Really?
You're the fucking ass baby that Schwarzenegger tried to have in that movie.
Oh, no.
Okay, sorry, Noelle.
And
sorry.
A rap by little old me, Lamar.
Noelle, go ahead.
Well, I really like the advice one because someone had told me, you know, if you start dating in a bar, you break up in a bar. And I was like, that's not true. And like, legit, it happened to me.
Oh, no.
That's really interesting. But let me.
Oh, shit.
Well, let's go to that. Well, we'll just go right to.
My marriage could end because.
No, you're starting at the club, Donald. That means your marriage is going to end at the club.
At the club.
I don't think you and Casey are going to the club to break up.
No. I think we need to.
But Noelle, we can just go right to Fix Your Life, which is what we do. It's time for Rolla, Missouri's favorite segment. It's time to
Fix Your Life.
Okay, Noelle, you got broken up with in a bar. We are here to help you. How can we help?
I'm currently looking for a house and a new car, so.
Well, Joelle, okay. Joelle, do we have one of those free houses to give away?
I really wish we did. Absolutely, I know just give away free houses.
So wait, what's going on? What's going on, Noelle?
Okay, well, I'm going to put the drama aside, but I'm just looking for, I just got out of a contract for a house, and so I'm looking for another house.
Okay.
I would love a house of my dreams.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to look for enough space for me.
Okay. How long were you in this relationship?
For the house?
No, with the man or the woman, whoever it was.
Oh, no. No, it wasn't. It was just I got out of a relationship in a contract for the house, and it just fell through.
I see. Okay. We thought it was a romantic relationship. You were going to have a house and it all fell through. And now your dream is, hey, I have a good job. I'm not skimming off the top and I would like a home.
So I will say this right now is the best time to buy a home because the interest rates are very, 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 very low. That doesn't mean buy and get an interest mortgage, but the interest rates are really low. So your mortgage will be low for however long you own the house.
Well, we don't know about what's happening in Missouri. We
at least in California,
it's
like that.
In California. Do you do what I do and obsessively look on all the apps for what you're looking for? Because I love real estate. I'm always, even when I just am always like looking. Whenever I visit a place, I get like so into it. And then I go look obsessively and look at real estate in that area.
Zillow.
I like Realtor.com, by the way. They should be our sponsor. That's a really good one.
Okay.
Yep.
You know why? They have this thing. And Joelle, you need to tell Realtor.com to be our advertiser because I'm about to give
you
them.
Need a, tell real,
let's do that.
Listen,
let's
I'm about to give them a big plug right now.
They need to give
they
them
have this
house.
Thing that I like. It's a feature where you can draw on the screen the area that you're looking for, and it'll just bring up homes.
Let me go to Realtor.com, man.
Right? You know what I'm saying? This is the best free ad I've ever given these mofos. No, but you can draw on the screen. Like, let's say you're like, oh, I know I want to be in Rolla somewhere. And then you can go, well, yeah, but I want to be in this neighborhood of Raleigh. You can just draw on the map with your finger, and then it only brings up houses in that neighborhood. Come on.
So what, Noelle, what's your next plan then? So
yeah, what's the move? What's the move, Noelle?
What's your next
plan? Why did the last one fall apart? What can we do to rectify it?
Oh, honestly, there were a lot of issues going on with that house.
Okay, good. Well, then you dodged a bullet. You don't want to be in you ever watch Money Pit? You should watch Money Pit. After you watch The Jerk, watch Money Pit.
Okay.
You don't want to be in a Money Pit.
Mm-mm.
You know, sometimes the best thing that can happen is that a door closes. And a door closed for you, and it sounds like you're really bummed out about it. And I get it. But I guarantee you, if there were problems and there were red flags, it was a blessing in disguise. Right, Donald?
Oh, no, I totally agree. You know.
Well, then can you say mm-hmm or something?
Motherfuck. Listen, man.
I don't know which button mm-hmm is.
Oh, for fuck's sake, just stop talking about your willies.
Daniel, I need this labeled.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
I fucking hate that pad now.
No, you don't. You love the pad. You know why you hate the pad? Because the pad, first of all, the pad is amazing. You hate the pad because Daniel refuses to update my sound effects.
Oh my god.
And you're tired of the old ones.
That's exactly what it is, Zach. That's exactly what it is.
And a rap by little old me, Lamar.
Oh, classic.
Noel.
I don't know how to fix this, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I can't.
No, she needs to find another house that's not a disaster.
My specialty is not real estate.
Well, mine is. Noelle, you have a good job, and you have a paycheck, and that's what a bank wants to see, that you have that you have a good job, and then you have money coming in, and that you're reliable, and you pay your bills on time. And it seems to me you'd be a great candidate to get a mortgage. You just got to find a place that's not going to be a friggin' disaster. And I think that if this place fell through for whatever reason, it wasn't meant to be.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Donald.
Yeah, you know, you're welcome, girl. I wish you the best of luck. Everybody's looking right now for a home, it seems like. Seems like everybody's either buying or selling nowadays.
Yeah, lots happened. Well, people, I think, after COVID are moving. They're going, you know what? COVID made me realize,
I'm sick
fuck
of
this
here.
Town.
Yeah,
fuck
yeah.
This town.
Yeah.
I'm getting outbid a lot. Folks are bidding, you know, 50,000 above asking price.
Yeah, that happens.
Lord.
That's happened.
Well,
a lot.
That just means you got to adjust your what you're looking for a bit, Noel, because you're right. People, when it gets competitive, you'll get outbid. But that just means money. you gotta go a little lower than what you gotta calculate that into your process.
I can do that.
Right, Donald?
No, you're right about it.
No, because in certain areas it's crazy. It's like there's bidding wars.
Yeah, like I said, this is the best time. If you're selling a home in California, this is the best time for you right now. Everybody wants some. Even if you're selling homes in Texas, people are buying homes for $100,000 to $200,000 more than asking price, and that's ridiculous. But hey, that's
well,
what it
it's
is.
Supply and demand, my friend. If everybody wants that house, they're gonna fucking drive it up. But no you doubt. Don't want to get in a situation where you push yourself, Noel, and you really stretched and you paid too much, and then you're like, oh, now I'm fucked. I have to like eat ramen because I bought this house. You know, don't overextend yourself so that you don't have room to enjoy life and eat really nice food.
Wait, ramen isn't good food? Amen.
Well, I was thinking like the college ramen in the styrofoam cup.
Top ramen.
I'm sure. Top ramen.
Oh, got it.
Isn't that a stereotypical thing that like poor college kids eat?
Dollar ramen.
You know what I used to do in college? I would take frozen peas, I put them in the microwave, and then I'd pour ranch dressing and I'd mix it all up and have like a ranch dressing pea soup.
Wow.
Oh no.
I respect that.
You knock it, but it's fucking delicious. Or at least I have.
I'm trying to imagine
good.
It. I don't like peas or ranch, which is really the problem.
Oh, then it's not the meal for you, Joelle.
It's really not working for me.
All right, Noel, you're welcome. You're welcome. Good luck. Please email Joelle. Give us some updates. When you find your home.
Well, I'm really excited. I'd love to ask questions when you go over 606. That means my musical episode. I love it.
Okay. Mm. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, we have some time before we get to 606. But
we're a season away from that.
Yes, but in the meantime, I think by the time we get to 606, you're gonna have the house of your dreams, Noel. That's
I hope
I
so.
Think.
Please, please, please.
Hey,
that's what I think.
Vibes are going out there.
I love date you all.
All right,
thanks,
bye, Noel.
Appreciate it.
Noel.
Bye, Noel. Take care.
Bye.
Well, that was great. That was fun. That's the show, everybody. This was a lot of fun. And Daniel, I hope you get your internet fixed.
God, I do too.
And
Donald. Is there a, wait, let me just ask a question. Daniel, is there another choice? Is there something you can do? Is there a contract that can be...
Monopoly. Spectrum's got a monopoly. Mine got it too.
I mean, I could switch ISPs, but it's more going to be if this is a consistent problem. But this is the first time it's happened in the 4 months we've lived here. It's intermittently coming in and out right now. And, you know, I think it'll be okay by the end of the day. So, you
Daniel,
know,
don't temporary punch, outage. Don't punch a hole in your wall.
Never.
Okay. Okay,
and that was the day Daniel burnt down his house.
Yes. Daniel, you don't want to
burn down your house. Fuck this internet! Fuck this internet!
You know, that's the curse of being nice all the time, is that anytime I get upset, people are like, whoa, Daniel's upset.
Right. Yeah.
Daniel's big man.
Yeah, you were giving me Bruce Banner vibes. I seriously saw your neck started to turn green.
I saw the neck vein. I saw the neck vein.
You look like Lou Ferrigno.
I saw the neck vein.
You know what's funny about the whatever his name was that turned into Lou Ferrigno? Like, he looked nothing like, at least in the Marvel universe.
Right, they kind of look like
Ruffalo. He looks a little like Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah. Mm.
Whatever the actor's name was who turned into Lou Ferrigno, it's like he didn't look anything like Lou Ferrigno.
Wasn't it Bill Bixby?
Is that what it was, Joel? All right, we're supposed to end the show, but give me a quick, I don't want to get this thespian's name wrong. If Donald's right with Bill Bixby.
Yes.
Bill Bixby?
Oh, nice.
On the Hulk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. TV it's show like Hulk that we grew up on.
Yeah. Yes.
If
David Banner, Bill Bixby.
If you look at Bill Bixby next to Lou Ferrigno, there's not a lot of resemblance.
No.
So he doesn't just turn into the Hulk, he turns into a different human being.
Yes. Yes.
All right, everybody. We love you. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next time.
5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about show we